thank you from everyone tonight for our technical director, Andrew Adams, our producer, Nick Blackmore, our host, Roger Lajoie, and my partner, Chris LaRue. I'm Ben Schulman. We hope you have a good night and stick around. It's another winning edition of Blue Jays Talk with two guys who I think know a lot about baseball, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. It starts right now.
Very, very nice, Mr. Schulman. Thank you for that. Take that, Paul and Ajax.
Yeah, it's a shot at you, Blair. It's got nothing to do with me.
7-3, the Toronto Blue Jays, my Blue Jays, beating the Boston Red Sox. They are 65-68 on the year. If you're wondering, June 19th was the last time there were three games and 500. That was at 35-38. They're actually 35-36 on June 17th, then lost seven consecutive games. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Yes, indeed, it is a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Lots to talk about out of this this entire day of baseball, I guess. The Blue Jays winning 4-1 in the conclusion of that suspended game earlier today, then, as we mentioned, beating the Red Sox 7-3. Kevin, you know, the Jays get five runs in that inning, in the fifth inning, and then they add on some runs helped by some Red Sox defense. I believe Buck mentioned at one point the Red Sox had allowed 49 unearned runs at home. That really is still the Achilles heel with this particular team, isn't it? Is the defense. And, you know, I mean, yes, the Blue Jays have homered 15 games for 15 games in a row. George Springer getting a home run today. But I guess the thing that really is sticking out to me, Kevin, is just, you know, we talk about the Blue Jays having fun and all this stuff, and as you point out, it's easy to have fun when you're hitting home runs. They just seem quicker, and they seem to be able, because of their athleticism here, to take advantage of teams that they weren't doing that before.
Yeah, I think it looks a little bit like you got to beat them. They're not going to beat themselves. That's
yes,
sort of the way they look, right? And it is amazing how good your team can look when you got good starting pitching and somebody hits a three-run homer.
Yeah.
Not a solo homer, a three-run homer, and – you know, that's sort of the blueprint on how you can win a bunch of games is have good pitching. And we saw it in the first game where it was the pen and the home run and your best hitter getting a big hit when you need it late in the game. I mean, today Barrios, the first three innings, let's be honest, was lucky, right? I mean, that's sort of where it's at, right? Sort of all, I don't want to say all year, but he's been fighting mechanics, right? It's a little quick with the front side. I mean, we can remember seeing Bassett in the outfield sort of, you know, when he makes the turn, sort of stay in the turn, right? It's how it looks when he starts down the mountain, and you could tell early on missing arm side. That's sort of when you know he's fighting it is – you know, his misses are a little bit bigger arm side and it's up. You know, when he throws a fastball, he wants it down. When he throws a sinker, he wants it down. When he throws a slurve, he wants to backdoor it down. Like when it's up, that'll tell you a little bit he's fighting with that, a little bit too quick with the midsection, flying a little bit open, arms dragging, arm drags. You know, but that's when the ball sort of, because of the slot of the arm, is on the side, not on the top. You know, it's playing catch up and you miss arm side and then dudes start to hammer you. So, yeah, it was, you know, he pitched behind most of the night, right? It was 16-29. And then sort of once the fifth inning landed and they scored the five runs, and then it was a three up, three down, 10 pitch fifth. That's a big deal, right? Your team scores five, you get them back in there as quick as you can. And he had three up, three downs, and, you know, and then he threw the fastball in the eighth inning to Duran right down the middle. So, yeah, I mean, this is sort of the way I think, you know, again, you need some dudes to step up. Now, can this happen when expectations get a little higher? Who knows? I just know it's fun. Like, I know it's fun, Jeff. Like,
yeah, and I mean, we can't, you know, we can sit here and talk about, I mean, this is what it is. We asked John Schneider on Friday about how do you know what's real and how do you know what isn't? Because
it's a great question.
Because the pressure isn't on the Jays right now.
Absolutely.
But you can only deal with what you have in front of you. And what we have in front of you right now is, you know, a team that's playing like it doesn't have any pressure on it. which is good. You know, it's good to have a young team that realizes where they are. I did want to say this, though, about Jose Berríos, Kevin. One of the things we saw from Jose Berríos today that we have seen in the past is he does get the timely ground ball out. He got a couple of double plays. He got Devers to hit into an unassisted ground out to Vladdy to get out of a bit of a jam. He also tonight, you know, his two seamer. He got 10 called strikes with his two seamer. Yeah. So it wasn't like it seemed as if after that third inning, after he got that, after Vladdy made that play, it seemed as if he just slipped into kind of a little bit of cruise control at that point.
Yeah, I don't want to give say anything about an umpire, but that umpire stunk. I mean, when the zone's that big and it's that wide, and you got a guy that's been around as long as Berríos, you take advantage of that. It's exactly what he did. I'm with you, right? It's the sort of the old adage is when you don't have it, you're sort of non-competitive with certain pitches. You're elevating the ball. It's just taking a deep breath, trying to figure out how to keep your team in it until they have the big inning, which is exactly what they did in the fifth inning. And I do want to mention the base running that Vladdy had in the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is baseball 101. It's base running 101. Run with your head up. Like, you know you're getting to third. You know you're playing a team that's not very good on the defensive side. Run with your head up. You don't need the third base coach to tell you to go. You run with your head up. You watch the play develop. When you see the ball down because the pitcher can't catch the ball, you score. I mean, it's just I even hate to bring that up because that should be what every big leaguer does. But we even saw Duran, Jeff, in the first inning with that little lollipop line drive to center field. He should score 15 out of 10 times on that ball. He didn't because, you know, sometimes they fall asleep. They just don't pay attention to what their surroundings look like. And even Buck mentioned that, right? That's a play that a fast dude should score on every single time. It could have changed the game, right? You score first, you have an add-on run, a guy's struggling, then you don't. You give a guy a chance to get in the groove, and then you see what happens. So I just like to give a little credit where credit's due. You know, when you see good base running, sometimes it's odd because you don't see a lot of good base running at the big league level, and we've been seeing a little bit of that from the Blue Jays. They're not afraid to try and steal a base. They're not afraid to go first to third. We saw Vladdy there in the ninth inning running with his head up. Ernie Clement freezing on that little mini line drive with Horowitz on the pinch hit, still scoring. Like, you know, you got to cut the right corners. You got to, you know, run the way you're supposed to run. I know, again, it's baseball 101, fans roll their eyes, but how many times you watch a game and you go, man, I could get a little leaguer to run the bases better than that?
You know,
it's kind of fun to watch.
And you look back to Sunday's game as well. You think of Wagner advancing on that foul ball. You think of there was a play late in the game, kind of that crazy fielder's choice, and Addison Barger stops at third, doesn't round the bag. If he rounds the bag, he's out. Like, there are little things you're seeing from them that, you know, if you're John Schneider and the coaching staff, these are young guys that they're basically following directions, and they're basically doing what they have to do. Robin Port Hope, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Gentlemen, yeah, it's a team that's fun to watch. It's too bad that wasn't the team since the beginning of the year. I think we would all enjoy that more. But listen, I also want to point out that there's a real correlation here you can't deny. When you look at when Donnie Baseball got hired to take over our offense, and we were all kind of impressed with his pedigree as a player, he hasn't been a very good offensive coach. If you look at our team OPS, if I'm not mistaken, it's fallen off a cliff. You know, it went from 760 the year before he got here in 2022 down to 745 to this year. I think it's in around just over 700. And it's the worst OPS we've had as a franchise since 1997.
Yes, because it's also the worst lineup you've had in a few. I mean, let's face it, the last 2 years, the lineups were not that good.
Look at it, individual players under his auspices have also dropped.
Yeah,
And also look at the fact that he was gone for a few weeks. These guys at the trade deadline come in and they're listening to some other voice. I think it's Matt Hague because they all seem to be going to him. They're all having fun. They're all adjusting quickly and they're figuring things out, like Barger, Lopefido, Jimenez. Like, do you think that's just coincidence or do you think there's some strength there in coaching from Haig and not so much from Donnie.
I mean, I don't know who they're talking to. Guillermo Hernandez is still there.
Well, I can tell you, he nailed it. Rob nailed it with the Matt Haig thing. That's the guy you go to. I mean, there's three different cages at home. And a lot of the times they're flip-flopping, and it just seems like for whatever he's speaking, they tend to be a listening. And that's, you know, again, I joke, Jeff, there is a lot of hitting coaches in there, and I wonder about the tension, right, when it comes to you got different batting cages and one, you know, you got more guys going to one cage than other cages. How are the coaching staff dealing with that? So,
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I'm in your camp. I think it's more about talent. You know, the hitting coach can only do so many soft tossing. I mean, he can only walk a guy off a plank so much until – again, this ain't a development league.
No,
this is a get-it-done league.
I mean, look, Don Mattingly's not going to turn guys into something they aren't.
There you go.
I mean, he's just not. I think we need to – you know, my only concern with the hitting coaches, it's not whether they're any good. My concern with the hitting coaches is simply that there might be too many of them. There's too many mixed messages. But we don't know because we're not down there. You know, I do know, as my friend Mr. Barker has pointed out, this team, earlier this year at least, when guys had slumps, they had long slumps. For whatever reason, they couldn't figure their way out of it. The other thing you noticed is when guys came over to this organization from other organizations, you know, it was remarkable. Brandon Belt comes over here 2 years ago, best hitter they have. Justin Turner comes over here this year. At the start of the year, he's the best hitter they have. You know, listen, I take Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro at their word that they're going to take a deeper dive into the way things are being done this year. But I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're starting to hit because Don Mattingly was away from the team. I just don't know. I just don't know. I think they're starting to hit in a lot of ways because they're a more athletic team. They're a faster team. I think they've got better athletes right now.
I think
they
got more. I think they have more lefties in the lineup.
And
I think
bingo.
Exactly, you're exactly right.
They got more
athletic
lefties.
And I think the big boy that's standing at first
makes a big difference.
It's breaking. That's what I said. Just wonder if you surrounded him with a couple more dudes, I'd look.
Russ in New Jersey, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Russ.
What's up, Russ?
Good evening. How are you? I'm waiting for the first guy to call Blue Jay Talk to say, are we in the pennant race?
We had a guy earlier today say, what would it take for – how did he word it, Kevin? We had a guy in Blue Jays Talk after the first game. And
chances, I think.
Yeah, what are the Jays' chances of getting the postseason? I think I said Fangraphs' chances were 0.1%, and I said that seems a little much.
Well, you'll get it. Yeah, that's not what I called, but if they beat Boston, Atlanta can figure out to beat Minnesota a couple games. I'm sure there'll be some guys calling for the weekend series. So, you know, they play Minnesota. But I wanted to talk to you about something, and I was away last week, but I watched your show, you know, on my phone, and you spoke about will they trade Bo Bichette in the offseason. I don't know, you know, if you changed your mind last week, but I think there's zero chance they trade Bo Bichette in the offseason. And the reason I say that is because Atkins knows that they don't make, you know, I don't know how long, you know, Rogers' leash with Atkins will be. You know, most like I've said a million times before, most cities he would have been out of here 2 years ago. But the point being that Ross Atkins is going to do what's best for Ross Atkins. Now, the best chance of him saving his job is if the Blue Jays do well next year and they win a round or whatever you want to say, two rounds, whatever. And the best chance of that is if Bo Bichette's their shortstop. So I just don't see them trading unless Bo Bichette makes a ruckus to get out of here. And, you know, I don't know if that's true, that you know, what type of guy he is that well. So I think they're going to keep him because I think Ross Atkins knows in order to secure his GM job, the Blue Jays need to win next year. And the best chance they have of winning is if the shortstop is Bo Bichette. So I just don't see them trading him. But, you know, that's just
they need two middle of the order bats. Whatever it takes to get that, I think they'll do. And if that means trading Bo to get somebody who's going to come in and hit 30 home runs and be a thumper, I think they'll trade Bo. And they'll figure out the shortstop spot at that point. But, I mean, ideally, if you're going to trade Bo, you want to get somebody who's in here with a little bit of control. Like, you're not going to trade Bo for somebody who's going to come in for 1 year. You're going to trade Bo for a younger player who's got 3 or 4 years control, can hit in the middle of your order. And if that isn't on the table, then Russ, I'm absolutely with you. Then you don't trade Bo. But, you know, knowing this front office, knowing the way they think, I'm sure they've already started to look beyond next year. you know, and that's fine. I think they have to start looking ahead to what comes after Bo and Vladdy, because you're not going to have both of those guys back, you know, 2 years down the road. I mean, you're just not. So I think it behooves them if they can put together a deal and get another middle of the order bat in here. I'll find somebody to play third base. I'll put it this way. Barker, I'll ask you, who'd you rather have, Bo playing shortstop, or would you rather have another guy in here who's going to hit some home runs and then let Leo Jimenez play shortstop?
I'd rather have both.
Well, you're not going to have both. So
why wouldn't you?
There you go. Yeah,
why wouldn't you?
You're going to end up having to trade.
I mean, there's plenty of dudes on the market this year. They got no excuses about the market.
No. You're not going to sign. This organization is not going to bring in two free agent hitters. They're not going to do that. That's going to cost way too much money. They're going to have to bring in one free agent hitter, and they're going to have to trade for another guy.
Yeah, I think you just answered your question. You got any chance of running that thing back if you don't bring in two thumpers? Then you're wasting your time.
That's what I'm saying. You got to do whatever it takes to bring in two thumpers. And if that means trading Bo to get a thumper, then you trade Bo to get a thumper.
I mean, he's just had one bad year, right? Like it's, and that may be a lot have to do with injuries. That may not have anything to do with, you know, he's sad or, you know, he's not happy with the front office. Who cares?
What's that got to
do? The dude can hit.
If anything, that means his trade value's higher than you think it is if he's only had one bad year.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, it's in the eye of the beholder, right? So who knows? That's the intriguing part is they need two thumpers. How do they get them?
Yeah, I don't think it's that intriguing. You're absolutely right. They need two thumpers. And if you have to get rid of Bo to get one of them, you do it. If that's not going to work, you don't do it. But these guys aren't going to go out and spend $60, $70 million on two free agent hitters. First of all, I'm not certain there's two free agent hitters. You know, you talk about Alonso and Teoscar. You're not going to bring both of those guys in. You're not going to bring Santander and another guy in. You're going to have to trade for one of those guys. You just are. And you may have to take some money. Hey, you may have to take some money to bring in another pitcher. You may have to do that. You may have to take some money to bring in somebody who's going to shore up the back end of your bullpen. So, this idea that you're going to bring Bo and Vladdy back and have, you know, $60 million worth of free agents join them, that's not on. You're also going to be paying Vladdy closer to $30 million next year. So think about it. I mean, to me, it's obvious. To me, either you bring Bo and Vladdy back and you have one hitter, or you bring Vladdy back and you go out and you have two more hitters. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590-73. The Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox. We'll take a break, come back on the other side with more calls, maybe hear from the skipper, John Schneider, as well. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Man, a whole lot, you know, from, you know, going back to the first game with just everyone kind of chipping in, pitching-wise, and then Jose knowing we're kind of short and then stepping up and doing what he did, you know, it's kind of total team effort, you know, big swing from George again in this game, obviously with a three-run homer, and then just little things like Ernie stealing a base, Spence being ready to hit, Vladdy hustling, you know, he's playing all day, hustles into second and then scores on the error. There was so many little things. We played good defense with Hosey, you know, turning double plays. Really can't say enough about how they went about it. And I feel like a broken record, but, you know, the older guys are really setting the tone, and it's fun to watch the young guys compete.
Sounds to me like John Schneider's a manager who's actually enjoying managing his team right now, Kevin Barker. It is Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker, 7-3. The Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox. Two wins today, including the conclusion of that suspended game. They are 65-68. Series continues tomorrow at Fenway Park. Cooper Criswell on the mound for the Red Sox. Yariel Rodriguez for the Blue Jays. Really, just really a good day for this team.
Yeah, I mean, they did a lot of things right. Like, there's not one thing you could look at in the two games and go, man, boy, that's awful. You can't do any of that. Like they play heads up baseball. They the ball's hit to them. They make the play. Like they turned the double plays when they were supposed to. They had tried. You know, even Kirky trying to get the runner over late in the game. Like it's the fastball down. I mean, it's just little things like that that, you know, you can almost raise your hand and go, "What the heck took you so long?"
Yep. Ryan in Innisfil, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. Good. I kind of just wanted to touch on a few things that you guys kind of already touched on before the break type thing, in regards to like Bo Bichette, for example. I really like kind of what Blair was saying about kind of offload Bo and maybe bring in two bats that can kind of swing it with Vladdy. I really don't see Bo as being a bat, even when he's like, if he's 50% better than what he's doing right now. Like, he's never hit 30 home runs before. He's going to get on base, but with all these trades for the young fellas, it looks like there's tons of potential to already have people that can get on base. Now we need people that can drive those people in. Bo's not one of those people. That's kind of my two cents on that. And my next question would be, what is like an ideal starting lineup look for you next year? Like, what would you be looking to see as a 1-9 next year for you guys? Are you looking more at a lineup? Cause our bullpen was kind of trash too. So are you thinking maybe we should pick up more in that regards and just add a couple bats or go full offense and see what you can string together in the bullpen? I'm just curious what you guys would approach would be.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. I mean, look, I look at this team right now. For me, Vladdy's at third. Somebody else is at shortstop.
Oh, did you say third?
Yeah, let me finish, and then you can go.
Wow.
Vladdy's at third. Somebody else at shortstop. Man, Spencer Horowitz at second. A thumper at first. Let's say Pete Alonso. Kirk behind the plate. Probably Springer. Varsho. Maybe Loperfido. I've got to get my other, you know, my other thumper in there someplace. Maybe that's a DH. That's kind of where I am. You know, that's if Bo Bichette is traded. Maybe Ernie Clement is my shortstop. I mean, that's just off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm in the camp. I don't think you can run it back and be serious if Bo Bichette's not in the lineup. Like, I just guys that can get as many hits as he can get. And, you know, there's a reason why John Schneider was trying to put him in spots to drive and runs. Like, he can do it. He can get hits. He can use the entire field. He can hit velocity. Like, I mean, I just can't believe that, you know, this little short period of time. I mean, it's not too far removed. Everybody's love Bo. Now, all of a
you
sudden,
said
everybody,
it was a year.
You know, don't
earlier
like,
today,
August.
You said it
I
was
said
a year.
August till this year.
Well, that's a year.
Well, I mean, that's the 2 years prior to that, he was raking, getting all kinds of hits.
I know. Like, but you were the one that
I
said
mean,
you
I,
were the one that said this
I,
has gone on
I
for a year now, and
I
you've changed
never,
over. You've changed. You've changed in 6 hours.
You went from happy to love Bo, greatest player you ever seen, to can't wait to trade him in the offseason.
I'm not saying
like,
I can't
mighty,
wait to trade
Mo,
him.
Bud.
I'm not wait to saying I saying
I
can't
injured,
trade him.
Injured. What do you think you're going to get for him?
Well, now, Kevin, 10 minutes ago, you just said that teams would look at Bo and see a guy who
no, I didn't. You know, I said they're injured, and how can you run it back without him? And then you're just like, well, you gotta use him to get another bat. You know, you got money. And money's coming off the books. I mean, if you're not going to sign Vladdy, like, there's ways here to do this and still have Bo on your team as your shortstop.
Oh, yeah, sure, you can do that. But what I'm saying is, if you're not going to sign both of those guys, maybe you end up moving Bo to get another bat in here. You know, you're operating under the. You seem to already have Alonso and Santander signed in this team next year. Go buy their freaking jerseys then, if you feel that way. You seem to have them already signed in this team next year. I don't know. When's the last time these guys have signed a thumper? I'm looking.
That is a tremendous question.
What makes you think that they're going to be able to pull that off? I honest to God.
Sports talk radio, Jeff. Okay?
I'm waiting. What makes you think that both of those guys are going to want to come here? I guess no one else is going to compete for him. Look, all we're saying about Bo is you got to get two run producers in here.
So basically,
and whatever it takes to do that, you do it.
Yeah, the way you're going about it smells like fourth place. So enjoy that.
Okay, well,
fine. Well, enjoy fourth place.
Well, I mean, they finished fourth with Bo this year. They're going to finish fifth with Bo this year.
Yeah, not playing. I mean, smell that. That's fourth place.
You're unbelievable. He hasn't done anything since last August. Wait till I talk to him.
Well, wait till I talk to Bo and tell him how you've been talking.
I don't really give a rat's ass. Do what you want. 7-3, the Blue Jays have beaten the Boston Red Sox. I'm going to apologize for Mr. Barker. Seldom have I been in the air with someone as wrong as Kevin's been for the last 10 minutes. All right, we'll do this again tomorrow. I'll try to beat some common sense into this guy. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball. Brought to you by the local family-owned, you're something else, Barker, by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers. in Burlington and Oakville, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.
You two gotta have your head checked. You guys gotta learn baseball.